I say with Phil this morning how glad we are to have you with us, and it is so good to be able to come together this morning to spend some time now in a study of God's Word. And I'm encouraged, and I hope that our time spent will be profitable and that God would be honored and glorified. When you go home today and somebody asks you, well, what was the sermon about? I'm going to make it easy for you. The title of the sermon is just one word. So that should be pretty easy. You just have to remember one word. And that one word is the word forward. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. In December of 1944 and January of 1945, our well-known and beloved 101st Airborne, the Screaming Eagles, were fighting alongside the Allied troops against Germany in the well-known Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes Forest in Belgium. It was called the Battle of the Bulge because if you look at the German front lines and you mark that out on a map, as they moved forward, it made a bulging shape. It was a very difficult battle and a very difficult time for all involved. It was very cold. It was very terrible conditions. At one point, around Christmas time, in the Battle of Bastogne, the 101st Airborne, the Easy Company, were completely surrounded by German forces. The supply lines had been cut off, and they had very little food. They had very little replacement on their ammunition, on their clothing, on their food, shelter, and so forth. Very difficult time for them. Around that time, the 101st Airborne was given the task of, after this well-known Battle of Bastogne, was given the task of taking a smaller town that the Germans had taken, and the 101st Airborne was in a tree line across the field from this small town. In the tree line, the Easy Company of the 101st Airborne had assembled themselves, and the captain said to a lieutenant, I want you to take your men, and I want you to move them forward across this field and go all the way, keep moving forward, and take this town. The problem was, this particular lieutenant was not a leader at all. He had already showed himself in previous days of being an absentee. He always made sure that he was gone. Well, I've got to go take a call at headquarters, and I've got to go here, and I've got to go there. And he really left the task to some of the sergeants to even do some of the actual battles and fighting. It was pretty sad. He was not a leader at all. But on this particular occasion, he could not get out of the situation, and so he took his men across that field, and they get halfway across the field, and he decides that I don't want to move forward anymore. They find some cover wherever they can. The Germans begin to fire on them, and this lieutenant actually starts ordering retreat, retreat. Well, that's a major problem. The captain in the tree line is yelling, forward, forward. The lieutenant locally with his men around him is saying, retreat, retreat. Well, the men are confused. They don't know whose orders to follow, and some men actually begin to retreat and run back, and the Germans shoot them in the back. After a little while, the captain in the tree line gets another lieutenant and says, you go out there and relieve that other lieutenant of his duty, and you take these men forward, which he does. And they, in time, retake that little town. But not after the loss of a large number of men, due in part to a lack of leadership, and due in part to someone who's giving conflicting orders, and due in part to someone who is retreating rather than advancing and moving forward. Brethren, in physical battles are about moving forward. That's just the bottom line. But it's also true in our spiritual lives as well, that we need to have a forward thinking mindset each and every day we get up. Forward. Not retreating, not backwards, but forward. And we're going to talk this morning, if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2, we're going to talk this morning, and we're going to begin this morning by talking about a couple of times when God is essentially saying, move forward to Israel on their way to Canaan land. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. On two occasions, we're going to focus on two. If you include what actually was said at the crossing of the Red Sea, In Exodus chapter 14, Exodus 14 verse 15, God told them to move forward. It'd be three times, but we're going to focus on these two times that are mentioned here in the book of Deuteronomy. God is telling Israel, you need to move forward. And as they were told to move forward on their physical journey to physical Canaan land, we need to take the same call and order from our commander, Jesus Christ, and move forward on our journey to heaven. As pilgrims and sojourners, and that's how we are described in the New Testament, Christ wants us to do the same. Brethren, I believe one of our biggest problems is this very matter. We don't want to move forward. Moving forward implies change. And whether it's we're comfortable and we don't want to move, or whether we're lazy, or whether we're scared, or whatever the case is, we don't want to move forward. And we've got to learn to do that. I don't think the devil has a problem with you becoming a Christian as long as you don't ever move forward after you become a Christian. As long as you retreat at some point later in life, I think he's perfectly fine if you're baptized. That's fine. As long as you quit later. We don't have the luxury, brethren, of staying put. Any battle, any war requires advancement. That's the whole point. We don't have the luxury of staying put. We don't have the luxury of just holding out right where we are currently today on October the 29th. That's not our luxury. We have to move and advance forward. I want you to write down, if you're making notes, forward thinking. We need to be forward thinking every day. And forward, that's what's going to win. I love my college football team, Vanderbilt, but they have a hard time moving the ball forward down the field. You've got to make forward progress. I watched a little bit of the Ole Miss Vanderbilt game last night. They do a great job running laterally. They do a great job running backwards. But you've got to make forward progress. And as a quarterback, you want to be known for forward positive yards, not just passing the ball laterally, but can you actually pass it down the field and get it caught? So we have forward thinking. We have forward progress. Brethren, that's what we need to be thinking today. And I want to encourage us along those lines. There are two times in the wilderness wandering of Israel coming out of Egypt and going to Canaan land, where God is going to come to them and say, you've spent enough time where you're at, I need you to move forward. Okay. The first one, I mentioned Deuteronomy 2. Let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. When Israel came out of Egypt, toward the beginning of their journey, they stay about a year at Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6. It's also called Horeb. They spend about a year at Mount Sinai getting the law. But after they've gotten the law, it's time to move. So from Exodus 19, Leviticus, Numbers up through Numbers chapter 10, that's all at Mount Sinai. They've been there for about a year. And they need to be there. They need to be there. They need to hear the law. They need to get the law. But God is going to say, you've compassed this mountain long enough. It's time to get up and move. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. Jehovah our God spake unto us in Horeb, Mount Sinai, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the hill country. And that's what they do. And this will be later. The well-known story of the sending out of the spies, and Israel is unbelieving. They believe the 10 spies. They don't go into the land. The famous Kadesh Barnea story of Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And they wander around in that area about 37, 38 years. But when they're at Mount Sinai, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn and take your journey. Forward. Get on with it. And I'm wondering, brethren and friends, if that's our situation and that's the statement we need to make to ourselves from time to time. You've dwelt long enough in this mountain. Chris, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. Just put your name in there. And it's time to move. Well, after about 38 years of wandering in the wilderness, come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's read the second time and the second place where God says the same thing. You've encompassed this mountain long enough, it's time to move on. The first one is toward the beginning of their journey. The second one is toward the ending of their journey. And if you look on a map, the modern day Red Sea, it has two fingers that go up. In between those two fingers is what is formed the Sinai Peninsula. On the left one is the Gulf of Suez, and on the right one is the Gulf of Aqaba. Just north of that, on the land portion, at the very tip up there, that's where this second one takes place. They're up in the border of Edom over here. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness, Deuteronomy 2:1, by the way of the Red Sea, as Jehovah spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And Jehovah spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Part of it, if you go back and read Numbers chapter 20 and 21, part of it is Aaron dies in Mount Hor in this area, and they weep for him a certain number of days. There's also the matter here of the Israelites again being unbelieving, and they're bitten by the fiery serpents, and Moses is told to make the brazen serpent and look on it and live. That's along in this area. But they have compassed Mount Seir many days, and they've compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. And that's what they do then. They go around the border of Edom, they go up through Moab and Ammon and the well-known Battle of Sihon and Og, and then they come back down and they're on the plains of Moab, and this is where Moses is presenting this sermon in the book of Deuteronomy before they cross over the Jordan and go into Canaan land. I want you to underscore in your Bible, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain, turn you and take your journey. And then in chapter 2 and verse 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Underscore that in your Bible. It's time to get up and get moving. Now, there's times in our life where we need to figure things out. But there's times in our life when we need to get up and get moving. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to look at four things in this text before we go any farther in the lesson. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2 then. And we've just read verse 3. You have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, say. I want you to notice four things in this text we're going to read down through verse 8. And we're going to notice some lessons for us today. Notice, first of all, in verses 1, 2, and 3, that there is a statement of fact. You have been journeying many days. You have compassed this mountain long enough. And some of it is not necessarily a bad thing. If you turn back to Numbers chapter 20, they were mourning the death of Aaron, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not suggesting this morning that what you're doing when you're hanging out at the mountain is bad things. I'm not suggesting that. But there is a time to move along. So notice, first of all, there's a statement of fact. And that fact may be in our lives today, and that's the encouragement for us this morning. If it applies to us and we've got this situation where we've compassed this mountain long enough, then we just need to face the facts. Then the second thing that they're given is a commandment of God. Turn northward. That's a command. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the border of your brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So there's a command. We've got to get up and move.
And on our journey to heaven, we've got to get up and move. And then the third thing that you're going to notice is a warning. Be careful how you deal with your brethren, the Edomites. Take good heed of yourselves, therefore, contend not with them. Some versions say, do not battle with them or do not make war with them. Why? For I will not give you their land, no, not so much as to put the sole of your foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. This belongs to them. You're not going here. You're going to Canaan land. It's farther north and west of you. You've got to keep going. This is not your land. Don't engage in battle with them. You shall purchase food of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. And then notice the fourth thing that is mentioned here. A reminder of the blessings of God. For Jehovah thy God hath blessed thee in all of the work of thy hand. Notice that they have money to purchase food and water after this long journey. God is going to take care of them. God has blessed you in all the work of your hands, number one. He has known thy walking through the great wilderness, number two, these 40 years. Jehovah God has been with thee, and you have lacked nothing, number three. So we passed by our brethren, the children of Esau that dwelt in Seir, from the way of the Arabah, from Elath, and from Ezion-Geber. That Ezion-Geber is on that northern point of that Gulf of Aqaba, so they're right up in that area, and then they begin to move up through Moab and so forth. Brethren, we have the same thing. Maybe in our lives we've compassed this mountain long enough. Number two, there's a command to get up and move. And number three, there are some warnings along the way. Be careful how you travel. And number four, we're always reminded of God's blessings that He gives us as we're trying to walk through life. Now, there are two problems, as I see it, with regard to this matter of our journey to heaven. The first problem is moving forward without thinking at all. And the second problem is standing still and not moving forward. Some people will move forward without thinking at all. They just rush headlong into life and they're making decisions and choices. They're not praying about it. They're not reading their Bible first. They're not talking with any wise person to get counsel and help and advice. They're just plowing through and a lot of problems come to their life. There are people who move forward, but they're not thinking first. Okay? So that is a problem. But another problem, and I believe it's often a common problem, and that is that we're sitting still and we're standing still and we don't want to move forward at all due to either fear or laziness or incompetence, or it could be a number of things. It could be Amos 6:1. God's people are at ease in Zion. We've got a great job, a great house, money, food, everything's going great, and I'm just at ease in Zion. It could be that. It could be a number of things. But the commander is saying, move forward. The captain is saying, move forward. And by the way, Jesus is described that way in the book of Hebrews. He's our captain, and he's saying, move forward. Now, there might be some other voices in your life that are saying, retreat. But you need to listen to the captain. Okay? And there's going to be voices in your life that are saying, stand still, and even worse, retreat, but you ignore that and you move forward. And so let's talk a little bit this morning about some areas of our life. There are six areas of our life that I want to talk about a little bit this morning where we need forward advancement. Okay? We need forward advancement. As much as I like watching Vanderbilt be out there on the field, it's basically three and out every time. You know, they just don't move the ball forward. Basketball is more their thing. Baseball is really their thing, but football is not so much their thing. And we don't just want movement. That's not the point. Oh, we're just movement. No, forward. Okay. We don't just want activity in our life. We want forward activity. Number one, we need to move forward into forgiveness.
There are people who know the gospel plan of salvation, but they need to move forward into the baptistry. They know the gospel plan of salvation, but they need to move forward and be baptized. There are Christians who know what they need to do to get sin out of their life. They just need to get up and do it. And so the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18, when he thought about himself and came to himself, he said, I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to get up and go. It wasn't just about thinking and feeling, and he got up and went. We need to move forward into forgiveness. Just knowing the gospel plan of salvation, we don't have forgiveness yet. Just knowing what we need to do to be saved is not enough. We need to move forward into the baptistry. Acts 22:16, arise. Why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Ananias said to Saul. And he becomes the great apostle Paul because he got up and was baptized. You need to move forward into forgiveness. There may be a son or a daughter, a family member or a friend that knows the gospel plan of salvation. That is great. But you need to move forward into forgiveness. And as a Christian, 1 John 1:7 through 2:2, if a sin gets in our life as a Christian, we know about it. That's not enough. We even know what to do. That's not enough. We've got to get up. And what is that? Well, repent and be baptized for the sinner and repent and pray for the erring Christian. We've got to get up and move forward into forgiveness. Well, I've been thinking about it. That's not enough. Well, I know what to do. That's not enough. You got to get up and move forward. We say, come forward as we stand and sing. Well, literally, that's a good thing, literally. But in our minds, we need to be thinking forward, forward each and every day and get into that realm that is actually the forgiveness. And if we can help you to do that, even this day, let me help you to do that. Well, this excuse and that excuse, or the person that needs to be, that. We got to get past the talking phase and the thinking phase and all of that into the forward phase. That's where the blessing is, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. You know, when we become a Christian, we need to move forward into growth. There are people who are baptized into Christ and they go pretty much their whole life spiritually immature. You need to move forward from the stage of being a babe to being a mature Christian. We need to grow, in other words. We need to grow. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, we need to press on toward maturity. We need to grow. Leave behind those basic principles of the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, the basic teachings, and move on to learning more things in the Word of God. Becoming more mature. Growing in our Bible study and in our knowledge of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Well, I've got a Bible. Great. Open it up and read more of it. Learn more of it. Apply more of it. Grow. Some of the ones in a local congregation that cause the most trouble are the ones that have been baptized the longest, I have seen in some congregations. Some of the ones causing the most division and trouble are the old-timers, for some reason, that have never grown up. That happened to us one time when we were in Springfield. The very one causing the problem is the one that's been baptized longer than everybody else. They're not growing. So we've got to grow in our thinking and in our maturity and in our character. We've got to move forward into growth. And Corinth was having a problem with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And Paul says, I would like to write unto you as mature, but I'm having to write unto you as spiritual babes because you cannot handle mature things. They did not grow from the time of Acts 18 when Paul first came to Corinth. Until the time that he's writing this letter, he expected growth
even within just a few years, he expected growth, but instead of that, there's immaturity. And so the first four chapters talks about all of their problems that they're having with division. They've got a fornicating brother that they're tolerating in chapter 5. Some are taking people to court in chapter 6. There's marriage problems in chapter 7. In chapters 8, 9, and 10, some of them are pushing their own personal scruples and beliefs on others. In chapter 11, there's division in the Lord's Supper. Some were using it as a common meal. In 12 through 14, the tongue speakers thought that they were better than everybody else. In chapter 15, some had denied the resurrection. So, they weren't growing up. And all it does is present problems for our life and the lives of those around us. Let's move forward into growth. It's slow, it's gradual, but let's be making a specific plan in our mind how that we're going to grow and be more faithful now than we have been in the past. Not just floundering, not just guessing at it, but an actual tactical plan to move forward. And God is able to give us that tactical plan in the Scripture, but we've got to follow it. Moving forward, not side to side, not round and round in a circle, forward. We sang, and I'm glad that Seth led those songs. We're going to talk about battling in just a minute, but forward into battle, we sang. Forward into battle. We need to go forward into our work and our service of the Lord. Well, I remember back in the 1950s. Okay, that's great. Glad that brethren, my parents and others were part of that great generation. Glad that they were doing a good work back in the 1950s. But what about 2023? We got to keep working now. We got to keep serving now. And some brethren are, well, maybe I'll get busy doing this and maybe I'll volunteer. No, just go forward into it and do it. I love Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. When they're rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah and the Jews are rebuilding the walls. They will not allow adversaries and enemies to get in their way. Look in your Bible, it says, and the work went forward. That's the way it needs to be. Well, we can't because we're discouraged over this and we've had that problem and COVID and this. Move forward. Let the work go forward. Don't be discouraged by anything. We're going to stay busy in our service. We're going to stay busy in our work. We're always going to abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And Paul talks about being put forward on their journey. I love these statements in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6, verse 11, Titus 3, 13, 3 John 6. Set people forward in their journeys. Put them forward in their journeys. Brethren, we know what the work is. We just need to go forward into it. We know what the service is. No excuses. Move forward. The work went forward. I love it. Volunteer. Be involved. In 2024, I'm going to make it a goal that I'm going to be doing such and such that I'm not currently doing in the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. I'm going to put it down on a piece of paper. Here's my plan. This is where I need to be. This is what I want to do. If I need some help, I'm going to talk with Chris or one of the elders or one of the deacons or somebody. I'm going to move forward and I'm going to be doing something in the future that I haven't, that I'm not currently doing. That'll keep us on the right track. And along those same lines, I need to move forward into obedience. Sometimes we say, well, there's certain things I can't obey because it's too hard. Or I've got my favorite things that I like to obey, and then there's other things that I don't want to obey. Let's turn with me to a couple of passages in the Old Testament. Old Testament Israel, from time to time, had this problem. Rather than moving forward in obedience, they were moving backward in disobedience. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backward." Backward is the statement of disobedience. Forward is the statement of obedience. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24. What direction are we going? Not just on the easy things to obey, not just on the fun things, not just on the favorite things, but all of the things that God wants for us in the New Testament scriptures. So Isaiah, about 700 years before the time of Christ, says that Israel is going backward. Now we're closer to almost getting up on the Babylonian captivity in the 600s. And Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 7:24, "They hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." And that's what some are doing. And we've got to help our children. Brethren, we are in a very challenging period of time in the Lord's church and in the kingdom today. And we've got to help our children stay on track, to get on track and stay on track, because there's a lot of voices wanting to take people backward, backward to denominationalism, backward to worldliness. And Jeremiah says, "You people have gone backward and not forward." Let's move forward into obedience. Verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff." Excuse me. "They did worse than their fathers." They went backward and not forward. Let's go forward into obedience. Let's not bristle and harden, but just simply obey. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, this is a physical action of Jesus, and I don't believe that there's any particular lesson in this, but I just want to make this point. In Matthew 26:39, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, the text says he went forward a little and knelt down and prayed. I don't necessarily believe that there's a lesson in that, but I did want to make this point. That little act, really, I believe, is representative of his whole life. He's always going forward in the service of God. All the way to the cross, and didn't stop in any way, and now rules at the right hand of God. He went forward a little. Forward progress, that's what you want. Forward progress. A little each and every day. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We need to go forward into battle. We have a spiritual fight on, and that's what the songs were about this morning. I appreciate Seth leading those songs. We need to put on the whole armor of God and go forward into battle. And I'm telling you, when the bullets are flying, and I've never been in that, I can imagine the thinking that that's got to be a very, very terrible place to be in when the bullets are flying around you. I appreciate all of our military, past and current. It's got to be tremendously stressful, but you've got to go into battle, brethren. And you can't just let the preacher do it. You can't just let the elders do it. You can't just let brother or sister so-and-so do it. Each one of us is there in Ephesians 6:10. Each one of us is to put on the whole armor of God and get out there on the field and fight. If you don't fight for yourself and your family, the devil's going to take you. You've got to fight for it. And it's going to get ugly.
And it's going to get bloody.
And we can't say, well, I'm not going to go out there because I'm scared.
Can't say that.
Or let somebody else do it. We've got to get out there and fight. It is a warfare. And in 1 Timothy 1:18, it is a good warfare. You know, some warfares, like maybe the one going on right now between Hamas and Israel, that's not a good one. There's no good justifiable reason for that. I don't know all the background to it. But I know this. This one in 1 Timothy 1:18, that's a good warfare. And it's for your soul. It's a battle for your soul and for the souls of your children and your grandchildren. And you've got to say, I'm going to put this armor on. And every piece of that armor relates to God's word in some way. You've got to put that armor on. And Paul says you can withstand the wiles of the devil. You can stand up to him. But you got to get out there on that field and fight. Well, I'm going to let somebody else defend the truth. No, you, Jude 3, you contend earnestly for the faith. And I believe you will. I believe I'm surrounded by good brethren here who will do that. But don't just say, well, debating's for the preacher. Let him do that. No, you contend earnestly for the faith, Jude 3. When you're at work, when you're at school, social media, whatever, you stand up for what the Bible says about this or that. When you're not forward into battle, then you're going to find yourself retreating after a while. And you're ashamed of the church. And I see that some today, brethren. Ashamed of the church of Christ. I was talking with some preachers the other day, and they were saying that they're hearing more and more of where members of churches of Christ, younger members of churches of Christ, are saying that we're just a denomination like everybody else. Quit denouncing the denominations. We're one too. People are embarrassed about the church. They're afraid to stand for the truth on the church. They're not going into battle. And the devil's going to have them before too long. We've got to go forward into battle. The battle could be a bigger thing, such as standing for the truth publicly or privately. It could be a private battle, a temptation. It could be these little battles that you win that end up winning the war. Maybe it's the temptation. Maybe it's the controlling of the tongue. Maybe it's Galatians 5, one of the works of the flesh. Whatever it is, there's all kinds of battles going on. You've got to go forward into it and fight it. And then last of all, we need to be going forward into heaven. I'm amazed at the Apostle Paul, who writes this toward the end of his life. He sounds like a young man. Turn with me to Philippians 3, our scripture reading. He's not. You would think that this might be at the beginning of his life. It's not. I'm amazed at where he is when he writes it. This Roman prison, this house arrest. He's older. The situation is not good. And he's still forward thinking. Forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward, the American Standard says, to the things which are before. And it's the word used for a runner who, when he gets close to the finishing line, stretches out his neck to cross before somebody else. It's that extra effort. It's that extra work. Paul's not drifting here. I'm just kind of drifting in my life. He's got an aim. He's got a goal. And it's forward. He's not just sort of randomly doing this and that. And that's what so many brethren do, and then they eventually fall away. We've got to be forward thinking. We've got to have forward progress. And so he says, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he says that we need to be doing the same thing in verse 15. We need to follow that same approach. As we run this Christian race, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, then, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We run the race with patience or endurance, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Brethren, we need to move forward. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a mountain in your life that you've compassed long enough? You've compassed this mountain long enough, okay? It's time to move forward. And the mountain that you're compassing may not necessarily be a bad thing. It's pretty good that Israel stayed a whole year at Mount Sinai and got the law. That's a pretty good thing. It may not necessarily be a bad thing. Now, if it is a bad thing, that we need to move away from that mountain pretty quickly. But whatever it is, we need to be making forward progress. Do you need to move forward into forgiveness this morning? Do you need to move forward into more growth and work and service? We're not just going to reach a plateau and just kind of level out there and just plateau. I'm going to tell myself this week, what can I do more in growth and work and service? I'm going to move forward into obedience. And when the battles come up, and they're hard, boy, the bullets are flying. Yeah, it's hard. I can't imagine that Battle of the Bulge. On December the 25th, Christmas, the 101st Airborne, they're dug out in their holes and they can hear the Germans singing Silent Night in German. That's how close they were. Very little food, very little clothing, very little ammunition. Medics scrounging around trying to come up with medicine and so forth. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. But you got to move forward into battle. And let's move forward into heaven. Basically what God was saying was, it's time to move forward into Canaan land. And what he's telling us through Paul and others in the New Testament is that we move forward into heaven. Whatever that is for you this morning, if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as